You're listening to the Change Management Review Podcast, where we bring you the best tactics, strategies, and actionable insights for change through our powerful interviews with change management practitioners and leaders. And now here's your host, Teresa Moulton.
Welcome to the Change Management Review podcast. I'm Teresa Moulton, Editor-in-Chief of the Change Management Review, and we've got a very interesting guest here in Sandra Stewart, and she is an executive team and group coach, as well as a coaching and leadership program consultant with her firm, SLS Coaching and Consulting, established in 1999. She is an instructor for leadership coaching for organizational performance. In her book, Building the Core Competencies of Change, A Guide to Coaching in Organizations, she defines coaching and coaching approaches, as well as how to deploy coaching in organizations. She is also a contributor to an academic text, Building an Organizational Coaching Future. She serves on the ICF Independent Review Board, adjudicating ethics complaints worldwide. She received her MBA from Columbia University Business School and her BA from Colgate University. She is a member of the ACMP-ICF Task Force, exploring synergies between coaching and change management. We are very excited to have Sandy here. And Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Teresa. I'm excited to be here, and I've been really thrilled to be in partnership with you with the task force bringing change management to coaching and vice versa.
Yes, me too. It's been such an incredible topic and collaboration. And the thing is, I came in, you know, way after a lot of the work had been started 3 years ago, and they've just moved it forward, you know, immensely. So in terms of what we want to talk about today, it sounds like building the core competency of change in organizations is a direction that you'd like to go in for today's topic. So one of the things that we might want to start with is just helping the listeners understand the definition of coaching and its different types of coaching.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. So what is coaching? And what does it have to do with change, right? So coaching is, I think often we think about this idea that coaching is, you know, like a sports team. You know, I'm going to tell you what to do differently so that you can be better. Yeah. And that's not what the type of coaching I'm talking about is. Executive coaching or leadership coaching or coaching in general is really a partnership in thinking and a partnership in learning. So learning is a pretty vulnerable process, and change is all about learning, right? Mm-hmm. And change often isn't, okay, you tell me how to change and then I'm going to go do it. It's all kinds of things come up and are in the way of our ability to change. Mm-hmm. And that's the learning process, right? It's, we got to go try something and we got to come back and say what didn't work and then try something else. And so coaching is a partnership in that process. Hmm. And when we get to be good at learning, we build the core competencies of change, because learning and change is synonymous, right? Mm-hmm. So what is coaching then? Is this partnership of trust, a safe space where an individual, if we're going to talk about individual coaching, mm-hmm. an individual and a coach can sit together and help the client articulate, well, what is the change you want to make? And you know what? That's often one of our biggest challenges. It's like, I know something has to be different, but oh, I can think of 10 things I need to do differently. But what can we focus on in this problem today, coach and client? Yeah. And then let's get under the surface here. Let's really talk about both the things that are in the way and the things that might energize this change for you. Mm-hmm. And underneath the surface are a lot of interesting things, emotions, mm. values, mindsets. Mm-hmm. So we're really talking about who I am as a person who's trying to make this change. Mm. And so we get under the surface as coaches. We help our client bring learning from that informs the change challenge. And then importantly with change and experiential change, we want to get into a new action, you know, something different so we can get some different outcome. And so that's what we also as coaches help make happen is, okay, now let's talk about what you're going to do. Yeah. And again, it's partnership. It's like the client often knows more than the coach, right? About what needs to get done. And it's helpful to have that coach to bounce off of. And then that I know I get to meet with them in another couple of weeks and say, what worked, what didn't work. And there we are, right? In the learning, generative learning circle.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that one-on-one. We can also do that in teams. We can help a team learn and grow together and become more kind of aware of how they operate, what the barriers are to operating as a team. We can do that in groups that are unrelated individuals. And we can do it peer coaching. If individuals know coaching skills, they can do it with each other, building that capacity to learn and grow, right? And then we can teach coaching skills. So we have all these tools, these coaching tools that we can deploy in organizations to help change happen.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how as technology is growing and automating so many aspects of work, but you can't replace the personal interactions. And so from what you said, what piques my curiosity is how does coaching move the organization forward during a change initiative one by one by one?
So if we think about using coaching and change, we're talking about probably, you know, at the beginning of a change initiative, we're trying to figure out exactly what the change is going to involve, right?
Right.
And so you may have a core team, you may have individuals who are driving that change, and an individual coaching situation might be to sit with that executive or executive team and help them define the change and the implications of change, the stakeholders of the change. And in that, if it's a team, you're going to probably have people coming at it differently, right?
You know, right.
Change, but no, I don't like that. And so navigating the differences in the viewpoints is, you know, sort of that very beginning point.
Yes. And so do you find that in your coaching engagements that you're involved with some consulting up front to help them define the senior teams or define what the strategic intent of the project is, and then you go into coaching, or do you stay mainly in like the leadership development aspect of the change management coaching?
So as a coach, I would defer to the change management professional to understand how to run a change engagement, right?
Okay.
So they have the expertise in what does a good strategy look like in that change? What does the whole process look like and defining all that process? As a coach and a coach consultant, I'm really partnering with them as they help that executive force to understand that mandate, right? And that process. And then I can be helpful with, well, if that's the case, and this is how you want to proceed with the change, let me ask you a few questions about the human barriers to that change.
Okay. So there's a great place for change management practitioners or professionals to partner with an executive coach, because you're able to have deeper conversations about barriers to change. And you're also probably within your confidentiality agreement with your client, I'm guessing, working with that client on developing change leadership capability.
Right, right. And so then that change management professional might say, so now we're going to have multiple places in the organization. Maybe there's some task force or teams that are engaged in this. And so one of the ways of greasing the wheels, it's a choice, would be to say, hey, how about a team coach or a group coach?
Right.
So that we can help them have productive conversations, delve under the surface of some of the challenges that that are there for them individually, but also for the people that they are overseeing through this change.
Yes.
Ask the questions, you know, and get the human element that we often forget to deploy and address and change.
You know, that's such a great point, because often with my clients on large initiatives, the project team itself, its health is not attended to. Mm. And I find that because of that, you know, it puts in it induces a level of risk into the program that people don't anticipate and plan for. So what do you think about team development at the project level with a team coach, and how do you think that might work?
Well, let me think. So if there's a change initiative going on, and a leader of a team who's fundamental to that change says, you know, there's not a lot of trust on this team.
Right.
In fact, there's not a lot of trust in the change initiative as a whole.
Like, yes.
We really have to do this, you know?
Right.
And so I might work with that leader and say, okay, you know, do you want to engage in a team coaching engagement where we address trust?
Right.
And that's one of those things that's very hard to have a formula for. You don't have a formula for it because it manifests so many different ways for each individual, right?
Right.
And so we can engage that team in a process of talking about trust, maybe directly or indirectly. Maybe we use some assessments around work style and communication style, because see, we're as coaches, we address the kind of internal processing of a team.
Okay.
Opposed to, oh, we're going to sit down and like tell you how to build strategy. No, we're not training or doing that. We're saying, how do you all operate together for self-awareness about how you communicate and work?
Yep.
And now it's your mutual accountability process, you know, in as a team to think and process and do together.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Build that competency.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then I liked what you mentioned about the group coaching too. And how do you see that kind of being implemented as part of a change program?
Yeah. So here's where we can align coaching and change, behavior change, for example. So let's say there's a technology change, and that means a certain level of leaders have to change what they do every day, which is, gosh, I don't want to do that. You know, new technology, I don't feel very competent with it. It's confusing. We had the training, but frankly, like, I'm not doing it. You know, all kinds of things. So we could then say, well, how about, because we know we're going to hit this, we form groups of individuals, and what we have identified before those groups have come together is we've trained them on how to do something differently.
Mm-hmm.
And have some objectives and maybe even metrics about behavior change that we're hoping to get from this group of leaders.
Right.
And in the group coaching, what we're doing is laying it on the table and saying, you know, we know our metric potentially is, you know, south, you know, not so good, right?
Right.
We set that up, but hey, we understand things get in the way. So let's talk about that, you know? And so what gets put on the table is, in a group situation, is here's where I'm struggling with the new technology piece or the new adoption of new behavior. I don't have time to do it this way. And the coach can pull from the group and say, what have other people done to address that?
Right. Yeah.
And how might we support each other walking away from our group coach today?
Yes.
And now you're getting them to own each other's success.
And, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like it takes a lot of pressure off of the change professional in terms of, you know, relying only on employee engagement, town halls, listening tours, communication, project websites, micro learning. You know, it really provides a strong engagement approach. And in today's world, it provides a social connection that we're not getting after COVID.
I love what you just said there. Yeah, that now if you do group coaching across an organization, and maybe in just a few of them, you know, you don't have to do
right.
you're building, you're decreasing silos because now people from across each other, you're building connection, human connection. Thank goodness somebody else has my problem.
Right.
You know,
not
I don't
alone.
Feel so stupid. Yeah, we're not alone. And you're building maybe some principle about learning. Like, we don't do it right the first time. We struggle.
Right.
And it's okay. And so now you're building an ethic or a culture.
Right.
Of, hey, we're in this to learn together.
Right? Yeah. And the other thing about it, and some of the best practices that I've read about lately, is that it's a technique that can be used in 90-minute sessions and still be very effective. So you don't have to take people off the job for a long time. And you can really use it because it's not a long-term intervention. You can use it in the front lines. You can use it in all different aspects and levels in your stakeholder population.
Yeah, there was a change agent or change professional who was in a situation with a gas services company where they had an existential threat, right?
Okay.
They are in a certain kind of fuel and resource area that was getting minimized because the market share was being pulled away by alternative energy sources, right?
Okay.
So they were like, we are not set up at all culturally, competency, anything to manage
right.
this change. So this was a massive effort for them. And
right.
they worked with an outside change consultant, helped
yep.
them reform their executive team. So they
yep.
understood how to bring in new competencies, new blood, and points of view.
Yeah.
They rebuilt that. They then started to coach each of that executive team. So the change professional brought in coaches for the executives. And what were they doing? They were creating what I call the core competencies of change in those executives.
Okay.
Open mind, curious mind, getting awareness of their style, other styles, and understanding their values as individuals, right? So that's what coaching gets underneath and does. So
yeah.
Started to build that into the team so that they could unleash their previous mindsets around what they thought their business was.
Yes.
Then they started deploying coaches in the HR function, training them in coaching so that
okay.
now we have internal coaching competency.
Yeah.
All the people across the institution. They built change teams throughout. They had to redo some restructuring, resystematizing, and use coaching in different ways all across that peer coaching, group coaching, team coaching, individual coaching to help people adopt this new way of being.
Right.
Great new competence. So over the course of actually 3 years, they transformed this organization's culture and business commerce, right? You know, in more sustainable energy practices.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool because I remember, and I'm dating myself, to the re-engineering phase where all of a sudden it was just so successful. No one would, my clients said, we're not using the word re-engineering in the company anymore. Like, these are big companies. They're like, we're not using the R word.
Yeah.
That was the trend before they stopped using the C word, change. But in the re-engineering world, you know, that really was part of the case for bringing change management to the fore, right? Because the people side of change was ignored. And in what you're talking about is really catalyzing that people side of change and offering new options for how to really integrate that change across and into an organization. And it comes down to what I'm hearing from you, it comes down to, you know, really giving the human people, you know, human people, but people, the behavioral, the attention they need to make a behavioral change.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about learning organizations, agile organizations, innovative organizations for decades now, right?
Right.
I think coaching in some ways has cropped up as the operational way of doing that, right? It's
yeah.
helped understand how to be that a learning organization, agile, and build the competencies of change.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm wondering about is What would be like a strategic approach and some tools to align coaching to change that you might employ in one of your assignments?
Yeah, so we often think about coaching as this kind of, do not have anyone tell you what you're going to do in that coaching. It has to be independent and confidential.
Yes.
Right. And so you're like, well, then how do you align that with change? You know, if it has nothing to do with anybody but the client. Well, importantly, no. We don't have to be that black box about the coaching. We can have an agenda around the coaching from the institution, the leader, and align our coaching to that. So how do we do that? Well, if we, for example, are asking for behavior change, specific behavior change from, we'll say, just an individual.
Yeah.
I'm the coach and you bring me in. I will make sure that the client understands that's an objective or an outcome for that client. You need to change this behavior.
Okay.
It's not coming from me as coach, but coming from institution leadership, right?
Yeah.
And we incorporate that in. And of course, my client is comfortable to say, I don't want to do this. Hey,
right.
That's your choice. It's not for me. I'm not your leader, for example, to say, no, you must do this.
Right.
Hey, let's get under that and understand what that is. So we then, though, I want to make sure that my leader's objective, it's clear to the leader whether or not the client's engaged in that objective. So how do I do that? It's not my job to be break confidentiality and go to the leader.
Okay,
I have what's called
right.
an alignment meeting. And that's coach, client, and leader.
And that's called what kind of meeting again?
Alignment meeting.
Alignment meeting. Okay.
And so it's up to my client to tell the leader while I'm sitting in the room, you know, what are you working on? I prepare my client for that conversation, right? We say, what are you going to talk about? How do you want to talk about it? I am not going to reveal anything that we talk about. And so then they talk to the leader, and the leader is free in that session, of course, to give commentary. In fact, I'm facilitating that process, you know, making
right.
sure that, hey, what expectation that leader has gets on the table and is clearly expressed to my client what their expectation is.
Right.
And again, it's up to the client to produce results, not me. But after that meeting, we can synthesize, what did you hear? Did you hear the intensity and the urgency around that need for that behavior change? Right.
Okay.
So that's one form of alignment one-on-one.
Yeah.
You can imagine that can occur with groups or teams as well.
Right.
Transparency and designing the coaching from the beginning, right?
Yes.
We partner change professional and coach up front and say, gee, change management, what's your strategy? What are you trying to achieve? Let me help you design a coaching program that will help achieve those objectives. And thank you now that I understand your goals.
Right.
And I understand what you're going to be measuring down the line.
Yes.
Now, the coach professional has a better sense of how to design the program and then how to execute on the program so that it's aligned to those change objectives.
Right. That's great. And so how would you design the interaction between yourself as a coach and the change management team into the contracting process with your client up front in terms of confidentiality and expectation management and all of that?
Yeah, that's a good one. And having reviewed many ethics cases.
Yes, I figured you were the perfect person to ask.
So a lot of times we think confidentiality, full and total confidentiality, are what coaching is all about. Well, what coaching is all about is trust so that people can learn with a coach.
Okay.
And we contract around confidentiality. If everybody knows the extent and limitations of that confidentiality, that's contracting. So in the case of partnering upfront in the contracting, we will talk about what must be confidential and what can't be. So for example, if there are 360 analyses, so performance appraisals,
right,
that the leadership wants to have visibility into, how is my leader scoring vis-a-vis input from the institution, like all the people around them.
Yeah.
How are they doing on a behavior I've asked for change on, right?
Right.
If they want to see the result of that, what we do is contract around that upfront and say, we're going to do this 360 and we're going to let everybody know that who's going to see the results on this.
Okay.
And as long as we make it clear, and we want to also the participants who are scoring that, they have to know that too.
Right.
May influence results. That's why we often don't do that, right?
Right.
So as long as we contract around confidentially, what does it include? What does it not include? Then the client can self-manage.
They can say,
you know what? This coach is going to be reporting back the following things to the institution. So I'm only going to keep my conversation with my coach over here. Right.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And so here's another question. And I know we've kind of played with this on the joint task force a little bit. You know, where's the line? Where do you think a change management professional could go with these assessments? I mean, is there is that when they should call in a professional coach or an OD expert and, you know, have someone who's really certified and done these types of assessments work with them or okay.
It depends on, has the change management professional been certified in the assessment or had good training, right?
Right.
So, OD professionals might help with the selection of which type of assessment, if that's their job, is to know all the different types. You know, maybe you're not in something like that, so you want some expertise there.
Yeah.
So it sort of depends on where your expertise is. The important thing there is, do you really understand what an assessment measures and what it doesn't measure?
Yes.
And how is it going to be used? Like, are you using this to sort of say somebody's inappropriate for a job?
Right.
Well, I don't know that it's measuring their appropriateness for the job. It might say, hey, I'm an extrovert, but I'm a really good sales professional.
Right.
You know, say, no, you're an extrovert, you know, you got the job, or you're an introvert, you don't get it, right? No, 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 no.
Right.
We do jobs differently. So we need to be aware of how assessments do and do not serve us.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I think it sounds like a great article, actually.
Okay, we can make that.
Okay, that sounds great. So we're about out of time. If you were to kind of synthesize what we talked about, what would you want to let people know as a result of this conversation?
Yeah, thank you. That coaching is a powerful tool in change.
Mm-hmm.
And using it strategically, like thinking about how it might be deployed against change as you're developing your change process and strategy, is a great way to partner with a coaching capacity or a professional to say, huh, there's ways I could integrate this tool to kind of catalyze and ensure a kind of sustainable change.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love it. I think we've explored and stretched the practice of change management a bit by bringing coaching, not just skills to the change professional, like in the coach approach we're working on with ACMP and ICF in the task force, but also how do you work with an executive coach to take full play coaching and bring it into a change initiative, which sounds very, very powerful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks for bringing that out and really being able to speak about that possibility, because I'm excited about it.
I am too. So Sandy, if people wanted to get a hold of you, and of course we have to mention the wonderful book that you've written, could you tell us where we could get in touch with you and find your book?
Sure. So SandraLStewart.com. Sandra Lee Stewart is my name. So SandraLStewart.com. I have a page on the book where you can find links to various places that carry it, all the major kind of online booksellers. It's out there. called Building the Core Competencies of Change, A Guide to Coaching in Organizations. I'm also on LinkedIn. And so you can search Sandra Lee Stewart on LinkedIn, and please join me in that space. We're pretty active, those of us on the change management side, as well as the coaching side, talking about what we're learning in that space. So that would be great.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time and your expertise. This was really, really enjoyable.
Thanks so much, Teresa.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Change Management Review Podcast. Be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.